28 days of hope together. We're celebrating all that God's doing. God receives all the glory, and we've been journeying together. It's the first time we've done something like this as a church family, but you can see what's happening, not only as we gather, but in homes and individually as we walk with God. It started with a couple of verses, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God wants us to put our hope in him because hope is a choice. Hope is available. The hope of Jesus is indestructible. It's infinite. And we soar like eagles when we have our confidence in God. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, let's read this together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's will is that we would trust him, receive his hope. We would be filled with his hope, his spirit, his word, and there would be an overflow where we live, work, learn, or play. We want to soar. We want that overflow. God takes us from his word to his presence. Scripture leads us to God's presence. And then when we abide with Jesus, we receive. And as we receive, hope grows in our life. It increases in our life. We start to give hope to more people. And now there's more stories of what God's doing. That's what we're celebrating. And 28 days, in some ways, it's gone by very quickly. And in some ways, you might be thinking, where are we going next? The end of 28 days today, it is like a finish line, but even more, it's like a starting line. And there's a vision of hope that God's given, and our staff, our elders, we're walking through this together. Now as a church family, we're gonna continue to walk through this together. And there's three words, and when you think about just choose hope, ignite, unite, take flight. Let's say those three words together. Ignite, unite, take flight. Now let's think about those and unpack those. 28 days of hope, that's ignite. God gives us a foundation and he lights a fire in our souls. During these 28 days, we hit some real key themes. We started with hope gifts and receiving from God, like a treasure chest. Then we talked about hope shifts, two jars. Every day, during the day, we have a crossroads, a decision. We can either choose hope or there are hope thieves in our lives. And sometimes we're one degree off and we need to make a hope shift and return to God, align with his word. Then we cultivate hope habits. That was the third week, spending time in scripture every day. During these 28 days, we've intentionally had less screen time because the average American has about 7 hours a day. And we've taken 28 days and we've focused on God and lingering in his presence and his word. Cultivating hope habits for a lifetime, not just 28 days. And then the final week, the fourth week, hope impact. And we talked about an oar that we all want to serve, row for Jesus, and God's given all of us a full-time ministry. He calls us ministers and priests. Those were the 28 days in an overview, and here we are at the end of the 28 days, and there's an ignite that happens. It's like God was strengthening the engine, and now for the next two words, where are we going? We're going to go somewhere with the Lord. The next word is unite after ignite, and this word unite is our summer series, 12 weeks of unity. What does that look like in our hearts, in our homes, in our church, and in our city? As God fills us with hope, now we wanna together, all together, we wanna strengthen the unity that God has for us. This is Jesus' longest prayer for his disciples. We want to enter in and guard and protect that unity. We can't do it alone. We need God, we need each other. And it's not just about one person or five people ascending to the top of a mountain. We all want to ascend in the Lord together. That's unite and the theme for this summer. Then in the fall, we have take flight. Take flight as we look at the book of Acts. Take flight as we see what is biblical Christianity as opposed to just cultural Christianity. And how do we take flight together? Is that helpful for those who like a big picture? To think of those three words, ignite 28 days, unite this summer, take flight in the fall as we go through the book of Acts. That's what God's doing in terms of filling us with hope and giving us fresh vision as well. Now, the golden thread in all those three are when you choose to abide with the God of hope, you will overflow with his hope because of his presence, power, and promises. We abide with Jesus. We're gonna bear much fruit. God's going to fill us with his hope. Jesus is going to give us his hope. We reject the narrative of hopelessness right now. And our hope, and hope is confidence in God. It's a joyful confidence in God. And as we put our hope in the Lord, our hope comes from God's presence, God's power, and it comes from God's promises. His character, his faithfulness is the foundation of our hope. And to be honest, I really think we all need some fresh vision when it comes to hope. What does it look like to have vision? The visual here is a telescope, and a telescope represents vision. Or you look at that, you're looking out, maybe in a ship, as we've been talking about, navigating together, journeying together, you look out. Now, some people, they don't want a telescope. They don't want much hope vision. They're saying, I'm not interested in hope. Hope isn't for me. I've got a little and that's enough. Some people won't pick up the telescope because they're stuck in the patterns of the world. They're stuck in some hopelessness, or they're stuck in some habitual sins, or they've gotten so discouraged and there's despair that they don't really even think there is hope available. They've tried a couple things. They feel like it hasn't worked. And so they're setting down the hope vision. For other people, picking up a hope telescope and having hope vision is a little threatening because if they're honest, they just want the status quo. They just don't want to go forward. They don't want anything to change. They just want to maintain control. And if I pick up the hope vision that God has for my life and for our lives, if I have God's vision, it might mean that I'm not comfortable. It might mean that I'm not calling the shots. It might mean something that really is going to put me in a place of reliance on God. And a lot of people don't want to go there. So sometimes we lower the ceiling, we shrink the vision, and we say, oh, a vision of hope? I don't think I really want to pick up that telescope right there. Why do we pick up a vision of hope? Because it comes from Scripture. It comes from God's heart. And as we pick up a vision for hope, we say yes to God's wisdom, yes to God's guidance, yes to God's supernatural power. We say yes to everything God has for us, yes to his promises, yes to his word, yes to his Holy Spirit. And we want a vision that comes from God. How many people want heaven's vision for God's hope in our lives? I mean, how many people want to soar with God's hope, want to live with God's hope? We're including at home. How many know that God is going to win some battles at home when his hope starts to come in? I mean, this is what God's called us to together. And just as I look into this, you think, oh, that's the whole vision, but I've got a vision of hope. This is what happens maybe when we started the 28 days. Like, wow, I'm getting some new hope vision. And then what happens? God ignites, and you're like, wow, there's more vision there than I thought. And then this summer, now it's unite, and you're like, I can't believe all the things that God wants to do. And then in the fall, we're going into take flight. And now as we look out, we start to see what God sees, and the eyes of our heart are opened. God has a vision for hope for his people today that we want to receive from heaven and be aligned with God's word. Yes, there's going to be courage involved. Yes, there's going to be unity involved, but there's a vision of hope. I think about the last 7 years and how many people in our church have run half marathon, full marathon. Well, what's happening there? There was a vision for hope. There was a vision that extended not just locally, but globally. There was a vision for hope that extended all the way to Africa, where kids, I've lived there, where kids don't have clean water. They walk for miles to retrieve some water for their family. They retrieve the water where it's murky. There's animals that are drinking the water, but they'll capture a little bit of water and then walk all the way home. There was a vision that extended beyond Auburn to see 7 years later what God's done. And even this year, with so many people running, Juhi's leadership, praise God, we're grateful for her. And Don, $38,000 raised. And that means that 769 children and families now have clean water for the rest of their lives. That's just this year of the last 7 years. And then we ran with many other churches. We combined church and parachurch. In the body of Christ, we need church and parachurch to come together. We serve with World Vision, and we're so grateful for their vision. Their vision that by 2030, there could be clean water for all kids in Africa. And so the vision that God gives for hope is refreshing in many different areas of our lives. That's just one we've been experiencing together. You might be thinking, you know, why do we need this hope from heaven? What's going on these days? Here's why we need hope from heaven. When you look at our nation spiritually, and I'm talking about statistics that are available to everyone, we've never had so few people connected and serving and going to houses of worship, going to church. We've never had this low a percentage in our country. We see that the faith is declining in our country. We look at the numbers for the youngest generation, and that should be a wake-up call, what's happening in our country right now. We think about homes where there's strife right now and how difficult it is for so many families moving forward. We think about habits like reading the scripture and how our culture is becoming more and more biblically illiterate. We live in Seattle, which is the least religious, least faith-filled city in America. That should get someone's attention. When you drive through Auburn and you see some of the needs, you say, why do we need hope right now? Look what's happening. Look at the reality of what's happening. Not to be discouraged, not to go into a cave, not to have despair, but as a wake-up call that God would stir our hearts. I say this, in a sport, the coach calls timeout and says, hold on, we need something different. We need God's hope in our hearts. We need something different in our homes. We need Jesus at the center. We need something to happen in our churches. We need the Spirit of God for the church to be the most hope-filled place in the community. We need an overflow from the churches. We want to lead our cities to Jesus. We need an awakening in our nation, for it won't come through technology or education or politics or finances. It's going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing him. We see these things. And so as we look out at God's vision, we don't want to shrink God's vision. What God wants to do in our hearts, in our homes, in our church, in our cities, in our nation, we don't want to be in a position where we shrink. There's an old book that says, your God is too small. That's the cover and the title of the book. That's kind of convicting. That'll get your attention. We don't want to be in that place where we're religious in form, we're calling all the shots, we've got programs we can maintain, and then what's really happening in our city, in our land, in our homes. We want a 24/7 relationship with God. We don't want to be compartmentalized. As you look out in the churches across the land, in most churches, there's a very small number of people doing all the heavy lifting and serving. That's not biblical Christianity. That is cultural Christianity. Biblical Christianity is the entire body of Christ. Is alive and loving God and serving together. And it's not only within the church, it's outside the church as his ambassadors. Do you see the gap between the biblical and the cultural Christianity right now? We need scripture. We need God's vision. We need God's hope. And I think of this passage in Luke chapter 5 as Jesus comes alongside the disciples. They're doing what they do, and that's fish. They're professional fishermen. And Jesus said, when he had finished speaking, he spoke to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. You can hear the hopelessness in his words. We've been working so hard. We're so exhausted. We're so busy. We've been going all night. It's been nonstop. We feel depleted. We don't want to do this. We don't really think that's gonna work. Jesus, you know the Bible, but I don't think you know fish, is what he's saying. Jesus, you give some great sermons, but this is our profession. Jesus, that kind of talk maybe belongs in the temple, but this is a different place. We know this place, Jesus. That position right there, here comes the worship, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Church, it's time to let down the nets again because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Is anyone going to listen to Jesus and lower the nets? When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Got a text this weekend from one of the elders saying, there's so many new members at our church right now, the elders can't figure out how to get all the interviews in. We got a problem here, folks. Pray for the elders. Pray for what's going on right now. We get Next Gen saying, so many kids are coming in from the community. We just need some more people to teach and disciple and love and serve our kids right now at our church. We got some nets breaking. We got some good challenges. So they signaled their partners in the other boat. We've got to signal in. Come over here. Let's go. Let's do this to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. I love it when I hear and talk to pastors around Auburn and I hear testimonies of this person came to know the Lord. And this is what God's doing at their church. And this a rising tide, all boats. We want all churches loving Jesus, gospel churches around the sound. We want to see people come to drive-through prayer. They come to know Jesus. They go to a different church. We thank God. This is one family. This is one body. What Jesus is saying to the disciples is this. You haven't caught anything all night, but the story is not over. Amen. You've seen some things the last 4 years, but the story is not over. Peter, it's time to drop the nets. Peter, I've got to get some hope into your heart so that you will hear me, make some shifts, and there's going to be fish that abound, not just in this boat, but in other boats. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to listen to the good shepherd. We want to be biblical in our minds. We don't want to shrink the vision of God. This is ancient and it's new. We won't change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. One God, Trinity, Scripture. We won't change the foundation, but we will listen to God and make mid-course adjustments. And for such a time as this to reach right here and right now where people are at, it's going to take listening to God, relying on the Spirit, the courage of the Holy Spirit, all these things. God is working. 28 days of hope is to ignite, Intentionally cultivate habits so that you will receive and give hope daily for a lifetime as you become like Jesus. God's call is that we become more and more like Jesus. Are you a lot more like Jesus than you were 6 months ago? Are people having a challenge to kind of figure you out? Because they're like, you've changed, you've grown. Like there is fruit in your life. Like becoming more like Jesus, well, how does that happen? Well, we've got to abide. You won't become like Jesus if you don't abide with Jesus. A few facts aren't gonna transform your life. It's a relationship. Now, God's gonna use his word. These are daily habits we cultivate. 28 minutes a day is a stretch for a lot of us. We've got full schedules. We're not legalistic about 28 minutes a day, but we are very intentional about getting into God's word, and God's word dwells in us. God's will is that we're full of his word and full of his spirit. You say, well, how do the word and the spirit go together? They always do, like railroad tracks. Who wrote the scripture? The Holy Spirit wrote the scripture through many different human authors. The Spirit and the Word agree because the Spirit's saying, I wrote that through David. I wrote that through Moses. I wrote that through Paul. And what does the Word say about the Spirit? Here's a command, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of Christians that love to talk about the Word, but if I quote that verse and say, be filled with the Spirit, they're just like, I don't know about that kind of Christianity. The Spirit and the Word, we need both. And so God's design is that we would be full. We would serve God. We would have faith in God. We would be faithful to God. And this is our joy. Some people are kind of like, well, do we have to give hope? Do we have to take it beyond the walls of church? We don't have to. We get to. We love to. We don't have anything better. Give me a purpose that's more fulfilling than abiding with Jesus and leading people to him and serving him and loving people like Jesus loved people. Give me a greater purpose. I'm interested if there's one. Haven't found it. Can't find it. Won't find it. Paul writes it this way, Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. He is the one we proclaim. We love Jesus. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That's about becoming more like Jesus. That's what we're all doing together. We're all journeying together. To this end, I strenuously contend. That means it's not going to be easy. With all my heart and strength and mind and soul. With all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. None of us can do it on our own. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's his strength. It's his energy. It's his joy. It's his peace that's coming through us. Well, when you think about a vision, and I just love how we've all done this together as a church, multi-generational, and some of our seasoned saints, some of our seniors, and I think a young at heart, they have absolutely run with a vision for 28 days. Around Just Choose Hope. And some of it has been together, some's been individually. There's a couple in our church and some of our seniors, and this is how God moved them to create hope bags. And they've looked out and they've seen in our community a lot of people that don't have home, a lot of people begging, a lot of people don't have food. So they decided, let's just make these hope bags together, husband and wife. And now they start handing these out. You say, well, is that an official ministry of Grace Community Church? No, doesn't have to be. How's God leading you? They have these hope bags. You say, well, what's in a hope bag? Well, they got a Rice Krispie bar. That's a good start, right? Never seen anyone get too upset about a Rice Krispie bar. What else? They've got some home-style chicken soup. All right. We've had some weather that's kind of soup weather lately. They've got all kinds of stuff in here. Fruit bars, desserts, juice. And then you know what else they put in these? They found this online. Getting creative. Here's hope. That's what it says. Here's hope. New Testament. So what I'm seeing is that our seniors are praying every day, listen to God. God is stirring them to say, what if we made hope bags? Let's go online and see what we could give to people. Here's a New Testament. Here's hope. Let's put one of those in there. And then let's add this bookmark that tells about God's love. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. And let's just meet some needs right there. Some physical needs, some spiritual needs. When we started 28 days, we had no idea stuff like this would happen. But this is exactly what happens when you start abiding with Jesus, listening to him. God moves in your life, moves in your heart. 28 minutes a day is for some people what's happened. It's a habit that's not gonna stop. Some people are gonna start reading through the entire Bible in a year. Some people have started to pray as a family at home. Some people are starting to do that every day. Do you know what a 1-degree shift that is from we don't pray at home to we pray at home every day together and seek God? That's amazing. That's amazing. The kind of stuff right now people are serving. They're reaching their community in new ways. You just saw a couple pictures, a couple stories. God is awakening and stirring his people for such a time as this. 28 days is not the end. It's just a start. It was an igniting that's gonna lead us into a uniting and a taking flight together. We wanna lead this city to Jesus. I'll just say it as straightforward as I can. We wanna lead people to Jesus humbly, authentically. God's already called you a priest. Pray for people, serve people, care for people. They're gonna see Jesus in you. They're gonna be led to Jesus because Christ in you, the hope of glory. We do this, we receive, we give hope every day. When I think about this hope, I think of Mount Rainier, and someone in our life group used this phrase, an avalanche of hope. Mount Rainier, when you're near Mount Rainier, there's a sense of awe and wonder. It's beautiful, go there this summer. And it just points to our creator. Creation points to our creator. Mount Rainier glorifies God. There's a sense of awe and wonder when you're in God's presence. We worship him with reverence and awe. But you also know at Mount Rainier, with the beauty, there's some potential for an avalanche. Well, how does an avalanche happen? There's some movement that might not be that detectable. Sometimes it's below the surface and God starts to move in our hearts. Sometimes it's not detectable. Everything God's doing in these 28 days and time in the word, in prayer, but God starts to move and one person starts to take action and someone else gets inspired and someone else thinks our home could look like that. And someone else says, I wanna serve our church family. And someone else discovers their gifts and then someone else. And pretty soon what happens is an avalanche of hope. An avalanche of hope because God has called all of us to be ministers. He's called all of us to be ambassadors, all of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an all ministry, not a part. It's an all ministry. So turn to the person next to you and say, you're appointed and anointed. And then turn to the other person and say it like you believe it. You are appointed and anointed. God is calling. Here it is. Let your vision and forward thinking. Isn't it good to have some forward thinking and some vision? Isn't it good to have an eternal perspective? Has an eternal perspective ever helped anyone going through a hard time? Is it ever helpful when your body feels like it's falling apart to remember we're getting resurrected bodies? Is it ever helpful when you see things deteriorate morally or spiritually to remember that heaven is our home? To remember that all these trials will pass? That this is just a couple years in an eternity of living with Jesus. This is a short window of opportunity. I don't need to be petty. I don't need to be discouraged. I don't need to hold grudges. Life's too short for that. An eternal perspective in the glory that's coming far outweighs them all. Forward thinking that's biblical Christianity, not cultural Christianity. You know, Romans 12 says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. And the sins of this world and the thinking of this world and the priorities and the value of this world. And a lot of times as Christians, we're quick to say that. But the blind spot for us is not only there are patterns in the world, but there's patterns within the church that sometimes don't align with Scripture. And it's a blind spot and we settle in and we get it down to a couple boxes that we check and we kind of go through the motions and it's the same old, and we're not growing that much. We're not really seeking God. We're not humbling ourselves. We're not turning from sin. We're not repenting. And we just get stuck. And we want God to move in such a way that instead of the world influencing the church influences the world. That's always been God's vision. The world is not only just creeping into the church, the world is trying to take over the church. But the church is God's people. And God's people, when we turn from sin and seek God together, God raises up people who are filled with his hope to change the narrative and change our nation. How? One prayer at a time, one conversation at a time, serving one person at a time, and you just trust God with the results. What does that look like? When I think about our church right now and some of the ways that God's growing us and also growing different ministries, and we look out, I'm so grateful there's a couple in our church that had a vision of hope with human trafficking, and we've been able to come alongside, partner more people in our church getting involved and making a difference. We want to end human trafficking. I'm so grateful that there's a vision for Compassion Clinic, and this summer, this fall, that we're serving together to meet physical needs in dentists and physical therapists and all sorts of different people coming together with their gifts and talents. I'm so grateful that I know someone in our church that had a vision for Bible translation, and now one of our international partners, and then also people in our church involved in that ministry. Why? Because we want the word of God to come to everyone in their own heart language. And there are so many breakthroughs happening right now in Bible translation. I'm thankful for a couple in our church that had a vision for Green River College and international students. And if you came back at 10:45, you would see this whole area full of international students. They feel at home in our church. They feel loved at our church. This will be a house of prayer for all nations. We gather in lunch. International students, many of you give them rides so that they can come to church as well. I'm grateful for our media ministry and Michelle and Julie and Joel, and from our church and even from our basement, we're reaching millions and millions of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ every month right now. I'm so thankful for the next generation and how you as a church care for and love the youngest ones in our church family. And from main event to coming alongside them, giving them Bibles, praying for them, mentoring them, you are absolutely devoted to blessing the youngest generation at this church. And they see it and sense it and it's authentic. And they're coming into this church from the community. Many of them don't have homes where they know Jesus, but they are coming in because they sense and see that, and you're serving them so faithfully. I could continue. I do need to mention drive-through prayer, because that vision 4 years ago has gone, it went from, oh, we could pull into the parking lot and pray, to we could do it more often. we could serve with some other churches and do it together. It could happen around the sound. It could happen around the nation. And now drive-through prayer every week here, Monday and Friday, more people come and know Jesus. I get texts. It feels like every week someone else came and know Jesus, someone else. And you know what's happening? Our church is getting a missions experience every Monday and Friday, because anyone who wants to reach this community, you just come down, get trained, and show up next to the busiest road in our street and watch what God's doing. I could keep going, but I know we got time limits today, so let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Habakkuk was someone who took a look around, didn't like what he sees. Anyone here take a look around? You don't like what you see sometimes? Some disturbing things happening right now. He saw Babylon. He saw violence. He saw people turning away from God. He saw injustice. He didn't like it. It's easy when you see things you don't like to complain, get bitter, get fearful, go back in the cave, point fingers, think we're better than other people. Habakkuk, he got raw with God. He got honest with God. It's a great book to check out, a deep conversation with God. And God gave him vision, fresh vision. And Habakkuk started in a place where he was really, you know, even with his faith, he was really struggling. And he ends up in a place where he is gonna be running with God's vision. God says to him, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Write down the revelation, Habakkuk. Run with the vision. God gives you a vision of hope. He gives you a vision of hope. Get rid of the complaining. The Bible says, do nothing with complaining. Do nothing with complaining. Get rid of the complaining. Get rid of the just watching, 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 watching. We watch a little bit. So that what? We can participate. We can receive God's vision. We can run with the vision. Here's one thing. I know God's worked in all of our lives the last 28 days. Here's one that's been so eye-opening for me. It's like the light bulbs have just been popping. And here's the context. Public schools. Now, we know there's a lot of things that happen in public schools that don't honor God, right? We also know there's a lot of people that love Jesus and educators. There's a lot of students that want to reach their campus. And all this is in one big mixer in the public schools. Well, sometimes as followers of Jesus, you have a perception that public schools are kind of off limits, that you can't really do much ministry there, that you can't really get into the public schools, that God has been kicked out and he can never return. That's how I hear Christians talk sometimes about the public schools. Well, that's not the truth. And the truth is that there is a wide open door in public schools. The last 28 days, God's been doing something new in a high school really close to where I live. And it started with a team of some volunteers in the community and some students and coming together and from different churches, which is pretty awesome. And what's happened is now there's a Jesus club at this church. Or sorry, I'm calling the public schools a church. It kind of feels like that. It kind of does. That little slip right there. What's happening is about 60 students show up every week. And there's a message. I want to give you a picture. This is Sam sharing his story. Look, it's never too late to come back to Christ. This is not after school or before school. This is in the middle of school. Amen. It's in the middle of school. And you know what? Students are flocking. They don't even fit in the room. We got to check out the fire code because they're in all the chairs. They're sitting on tables. They're on the floor. Like, we're looking for a bigger room right now. And what's happening? Now, does the school have guidelines? Absolutely. Here's the guidelines. It needs to be a student-led club. And the students really need to own the vision. Nice. That's what it is, okay? And so sometimes we think, oh, well then church should stay in the church. Church could never get in. Followers of Jesus could never get in. Oh, there's so many guidelines. There's so many regulations. There's so many restrictions. It's impossible to do ministry. No, those guidelines are actually wisdom for the church. Because if those guidelines weren't there, we might think, oh, we got to run in and do some super expensive, fancy program where church staff leads everything, right? We got to do that. Well, no. You come alongside of students. You empower and train them. They reach all their friends. They share their testimony. They own it. They're excited. And look what God does on the campus. Totally changes a campus. I'm saying when we get God's vision, we break out of some ruts. Instead of just, oh, public schools are terrible. They kick God out. Nothing good can ever happen in there. No, I'm watching it every week. The name of Jesus is being proclaimed. Students are invited to put their trust in the Lord. And you know what? What the students are doing on campus, you can do in your neighborhood and at your job. You got legal freedom you don't know about. The challenge isn't the guidelines. The challenge is the hope in our hearts and the vision of what God wants to bring. It's been so refreshing for me the last 28 days to see what's happening at this school through students who love Jesus and seeing them run with a vision. It's powerful, and that's just a microcosm of what can happen. This generation, the statistics might be getting lower, but there is a fire and a love for Jesus in this generation that is courageous and sincere and authentic and strong, and they're hungry for God to move. They're tired of the world. They're hungry for God to move. So let's keep moving. Jesus prays that we will have complete unity and wants us together to lead our cities to our Savior and his infinite hope. This is going to look ahead to the next series, John 17, verses 20 and 23. Look at his longest prayer. This is Jesus' prayer for followers, future followers. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We unite together as one body, not just to be united, but so that the world would see Jesus. Think about our city and what happens when all generations and churches come together to serve. I was just thinking about Christ Community Free Clinic. I was talking to a retired physician from our church this past week. Every Tuesday, did you know there's free medical services in Auburn? And it's not just to meet physical needs, but relationships, and not just relationships, but sharing Jesus and leading people to Jesus. That's every Tuesday. The people who love Jesus in the medical world, they're standing up and serving. And it's been going for years, and people from our church have been involved. There are no lack of opportunities. When we unite and come together, we identify the gifts, we get filled with God's Spirit and hope. Now we go out into our community, build relationships. Jesus prayed we'd be united so the world would know. You might see some things that are challenges, but don't forget Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 9. Jeremiah was someone who lived in a time that it looked like darkness was winning. But Jeremiah 33, 9, then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear of all the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I will provide for it. God wants to do something in our city and in the Sound beyond anything we could plan. He gets the glory. It's on the other side of yes. When we say yes to Jesus, God is going to, it's an all vision. It's an all vision. This is what I wrote down. All the churches, all the followers of Jesus, all of God's word, all of God's Spirit, all of God's hope, all the different places where we live, work, learn, or play, all God has, all glory goes to God. Instead of shrinking the vision, think of these circles as these 28 days God has ignited, and we're gonna unite together. These circles right here, the God of hope, that's who we worship. That's what he says in Romans 15, 13. He is the God of hope, our source of hope. God wants to move in our heart, in our home, in our churches, and in our cities. God wants to move in all four spaces. For too long, we've thought God just wants to work at church. Parents, you're the primary people to disciple and train your kids. Church is secondary. What you spend so much time at home, grandparents, with your grandkids, in your family, not just Sunday mornings, throughout the entire week at church. It starts in our hearts. And then when our homes, our church, overflows into our city, just take today and take this time of communion to just think of the vision. Listening to God the last 28 days, what has he been saying to you the last 28 days? How has God expanded your vision of hope, to receive and give hope daily. What is God preparing us to do together? We started the 28 days with communion, and we are gonna take communion together right now. When you came in, if you grabbed the elements, you can go ahead and pull out the cup and the bread. If you didn't, just raise your hand, and our team right now will bring to you both the bread and the juice. And we want to prepare our hearts for communion. The Bible says that communion is for followers of Jesus. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, we invite you to put your trust in him right now. We invite you to come to know Jesus in a relationship as Savior and Lord. And if you make that decision right now and follow Jesus, then we invite you to participate with us. And the Bible says that as we come to the Lord's table, as we come to communion, we remember Jesus. We want to focus on Jesus' death, his resurrection, and these elements remind us the bread of his body and the cup of his blood. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have no forgiveness of sins. And because he loves us, he demonstrated it through his body. What we hold in these elements, this reminds us of the hope of Jesus. Jesus is our hope. And his hope is indestructible through the resurrection. His hope is infinite. And his hope, his love, is demonstrated on the cross. God invites us to turn from our sins. So let's take a minute right now before we take the elements. Let God search your heart. Is there any way that's one degree off? Is there any repentance needed? Time to confess sin. The time to return to God with all your heart. The time to worship God and say, here I am, God, here's my worship. I offer myself to you. Here's my time, my talent, my treasure. As we empty ourselves of the sin, God fills us with hope, fills us with his spirit. God, we come to you now and thank you, God, that you convict us because you love us and you call us first to you, Jesus, and then you call us to bring your hope into the world. Jesus, we thank you how you lived out this hope, and this included your death on the cross. God, as we hold this bread right now, Jesus, we think about your physical body on the cross and your humility and your love and your faithfulness. As we hold this bread, we think about your body, Jesus. We're so humbled by your sacrifice. And to honor you, to worship you, to remember you, we take this bread together right now. Let's take the bread. As we hold this cup and juice, Jesus, we think about your blood. Thank you that you became sin, even though you're sinless. You became sin so we could have your righteousness. We thank you for the grace as we hold this cup right now, this grace that's greater than our sins. We thank you that the payment for sin is full. It's finished. We don't achieve it, we receive it. Thank you for loving us so perfectly and faithfully, Jesus. And we drink this cup together as we remember you. Let's continue to worship, receive God's hope, and be ready to give his hope to this world.